Welcome to the Analytics of Dynasty Daily Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara. We are going to do a quick rundown, and I'll be updating this week, and I'll probably follow it up with another podcast late in the week, but I'm going to be updating the human hand grenade index, and I'll put it more prominently on the website too. So I'll update that this week, but I just wanted to run down some of the situations over the weekend. We're going to do NFC today, AFC tomorrow. And this is primarily running backs, although there is some stuff we can tell from some of the other positions that I just think are important to note. So I'll sort of note those as we go along. Arizona, so we're going to do NFC in the show. Arizona, it's worth noting James Conner on the COVID list. It's unclear to me. It looks like he's a close contact at this point. It's unclear to me whether or not he's tested positive. I know that there's some restrictions on how certain news outlets handle the reporting of that, so we'll pay attention to that. Again, I'm not going to make this a COVID-centric show, but we do have concerns. James Conner, cancer survivor, comorbidity, those sorts of concerns, so we hope all's well for him. Don't know vaccination status. I didn't look that up or anything like that, but so we're rooting for James Conner to be okay. Chase Edmonds played, a handful of snaps, basically, 3 for 10 on the ground. It was fine. He actually played it a little bit in the passing game too. He played, 5 passing game snaps. He went 1 for 10. So, again, small samples here. So, I think that basically checks the box. He came in, as a starter, and nothing really to report. I think the interesting question after that is, you had Jonathan Ward as the next guy in. He was actually thoroughly outperformed by Eno Benjamin. Eno Benjamin outperformed him in the PFF grading, for example. He was 68.6 to Jonathan Ward's 57.5. Eno Benjamin, best performer on the team in terms of PFF grade. So I think that's notable. Again, these are small sample sizes, so we have to be a little careful with that. But he had managed a big run. It's notable he didn't force any missed tackles or anything like that. The only person that forced a missed tackle by Arizona was Jonathan Ward. Tavion Feaster came in later, but I don't think he's threatening for a job, let alone the roster or anything, or the, you know, breaking a one injury away role or anything like that at this point. Ito Smith, also fringe roster worthy consideration. Atlanta, I think what's notable with Atlanta, you had both Mike Davis and Kadre Allison sit. So that's should speak to us. Basically, the whole offense sat, your core guys there. So I think that is notable there in terms of how we might think of them. Are they more on equal footing? How does that look? I'll be interested to see sort of as we get more data points. Beat reports have said that it is Mike Davis going to be the starter. That's what we've seen. I've seen that, that humming noise pretty consistently. I heard that humming noise, I guess, pretty consistently now. But I'm pretty optimistic in terms of Allison being an injury away guy. So I think that basically confirms that for us. One person, Javion Hawkins was a rookie this year coming in, graded out pretty poorly in this. 5 carries, 2 yards. Actually did a bunch after contact. So that tells you kind of how his day went. Pretty poor PFF grade. Caleb Huntley, again, 6 for 18. It's not really anything we're going to write home about. 19 yards after contact. Again, that tells you something about what they were playing behind. I think as a team, they absolutely were on average contacted in the backfield. So as a team, they had 39 yards after contact. They had a total of 30 yards rushing. So that tells you, and that is on 14 carries. So that tells you kind of how the rushing game went. So Huntley doesn't look great. 6 for 18, 75.9 PFF grade, 3.17 yards after contact. So that's pretty solid there. A really high elusive rating. Again, that is, we're talking low samples here. 3 forced missed tackles, right? So all those things, that's pretty good stuff. So I'm eyeing him. I don't know if in 25 man, something like that, we're looking for Caleb Huntley, but we are thinking deeper leagues, 35, you know, 30, 35 man. If you're sort of humming through your depth charts, Caleb Huntley should be an add. Definitely should be an add with some uncertainty ahead of him. Deonta Foreman in late in the game. It's worth noting that he was with Tennessee when Arthur Smith was there. So just sort of keep that in the back of our mind. They already know what they have with him. Again, he 3 yards after contact per attempt, 9 total yards after contact. He had a total of 10 rushing yards. So it gives you an idea what they were dealing with. All right, Chicago Bears. And this one's interesting because David Montgomery started 1 carry, 3 yards, basically his only snap. And then it was Damian Williams in. Montgomery left with an injury. Doesn't look to be too super serious, but keeping an eye on that. Damian Williams, if he's not rostered, should be rostered. So check that. Make sure that he's out there. Again, I think he's the injury away guy. He came in immediately after David Montgomery. And there's not really anyone else on the roster. Artavis Pierce was okay. Khalil Herbert, I think, is interesting. Pierce tested actually better than Herbert did. But like Damian Williams is I think the better player, and has two-way abilities too, both in the rushing game and in the passing game. So he only goes 2 for 4. Again, you get him in there, get him out, just sort of kick some of the rust off. He played eight snaps when Chicago threw the ball or dropped back to pass, and he had 9 yards, 1 for 9 there. So over 1 in terms of yards per route run. And that's pretty much it. Ryan Nall went off, huge gain, graded out pretty well. I don't necessarily think he's a threat to make any sort of difference here in terms of production in a one injury away sense. Looking next to Dallas, and Rico Dowdell had a real big game in terms of volume. 16 for 68 in the running game. Jaquan Hardy actually had 11 carries for 42 yards. Brendan Knox, 9 for 31. Tony Pollard, 6 for 22. Tony Pollard graded out really well. So I think that is notable. That's a good sign for him there. They forced a ton of missed tackles as a team. So Dowdell, 3 forced missed tackles on 16 carries. Jaquan Hardy, 7 forced missed tackles on 11 carries. Brendan Knox, 2 on 9 carries. And Pollard, 1 on his 6 carries there. So I think it's interesting, you know, looking beyond just the depth chart, Rico Dowdell is I think someone we pegged as being the next man up, I guess, after Pollard. I think it's interesting if he gets a little bit of, you know, maybe he gets a little bit of competition here from a guy like Jaquan Hardy. Jaquan Hardy out of Tiffin University. So keep, it's a name to keep an eye on. Again, I'm not rushing out to add or anything like that at present. But I do think, you know, it's something to keep an eye on. He tested out decently in terms of some of the ancillary agility skills. 5'8", 211. He's 23.6 years of age, undrafted out of Tiffin. Low in the burst score, low in the speed score, 4.61. Ran a 4.56 at his pro day, and you adjust that up. Thanks to Player Profiler for the metrics there. You adjust that up and it goes to 4.61. Yards per carry, 95th percentile in college. So that's notable. Spark score, actually 66th percentile. So some of the ancillary stuff we think are somewhat decent. So keep an eye on it. Paul Perkins is his best comp over at Player Profiler. So I think it's a situation. You know, when Perkins was kind of like, he had some, it's interesting because he had some of that, hey, you could force a missed tackle type deal, but he just wasn't athletic enough. So keep an eye on Jaquan Hardy. That would be my overall takeaway. He graded out second best on the team behind Tony Pollard. Again, he's not necessarily a priority add right now. I think Dowdell was first in priority. He was in after Pollard. But I think Jaquan Hardy's a name just to monitor, and we'll check in with next week. All right, Detroit Lions. The big player here, I think, was actually Craig Reynolds. Actually, Dedrick Mills looked pretty good as well. Jamar Jefferson blends in. I don't think he's all that great. But when you look, you have Dedrick Mills and Craig Evans actually both played pretty well. Craig Reynolds broke 5 tackles on 6 carries. So that's a pretty good number. 4.33 yards after contact per attempt. Again, Dedrick Mills had 33 yards after contact on 32 total yards. So he averaged 6.4 yards per attempt, and essentially all of that, more than that, was after contact. So really good performance there. They were getting just destroyed on their offensive line most of the game, as you can tell. Like Jamal Williams, 17 yards after contact, 15 total yards. So that's kind of what they were dealing with. So I'm interested in sort of what this depth chart looks like. I don't think it's settled with Jamar Jefferson. I covered them for Football Guys. I covered the Lions beat in the preseason. The thought was that it was. I'm not necessarily so sure now. You do have some other performances there. I mean, Jamar Jefferson's fine, but I think he kind of can blend in a little bit. And you look at some of these other guys a little bit more prototypically sized as well. So I'm eyes wide open on the Detroit backfield. All right, one touch for A.J. Dillon in Green Bay. It was really the Kylin Hill, 5 for -2. That's not good. Dexter Williams played as well, 4 for -32 on the ground. Patrick Taylor Jr. Was 9 for -22 on the ground. So again, nothing really super notable to write home about. I wouldn't say anyone really stood out from a metric perspective either. I think, a pretty solved equation in my mind. I think it's going to be Aaron Jones. I think it's going to be A.J. Dillon. And then my guess would be Kylin Hill after that. So I think that's really what my thought is. I will say it's interesting that it was the second drive, and they didn't have a rush on the first drive, so I don't think there's anything really to look into there. But AJ Dillon, 1 carry on the first play of the second drive, and then they basically went 3 and out, and that was essentially it. Kylin Hill came in thereafter. Again, he was the third in line, and played basically the next several drives, and that is with Jordan Love. So again, that's basically second team offense there. And he basically played essentially through the end of the first half. Patrick Taylor came in thereafter. And that probably gives us some caution on Dexter Williams. So, that's pretty much the scenario. I don't think I'm super locked up or concerned about anyone after, maybe Kylin Hill in a deeper roster, but again, that's not super front of mind, I don't think, outside of like 40-man rosters at this point. Going next down to the LA Rams. I cover this one for Football Guys too, so I paid particularly close attention to this game. And I think it's Xavier Jones, and then it's Jake Funk behind Darrell Henderson. Raymond Calais is actually interesting because he's more of a special teams guy. I think he probably makes this roster. I think the priority is Xavier Jones after Darrell Henderson. Jake Funk is, I think, going to make this roster. He's playing special teams too, so I think that gives you an order priority with him basically behind Xavier Jones. They 8-6 in terms of touches. Jones played first. Funk played second. They sort of rotated in. One thing I did note, and wasn't super concerned about it, but I was interested to see what was going to happen with some of the passing stuff, because, you know, Jake Funk has a little, has kind of an interesting sort of backstory with some of the injury stuff, but he was actually pretty good in college, but it was, he was older, like he's an old prospect, but tested really well for the amount of injuries he's had, and did some stuff in the passing game as well. So I was interested to see how that looked. He got the first couple of third down snaps. He was targeted, caught a ball too. And then I was like, oh, okay, that's interesting. Maybe they're going to take Xavier Jones off the field. Well, lo and behold, next third down, in came Xavier Jones. So I don't think there's anything necessarily to pull from that. That was something I was looking for and wanted to see. But I don't think there's anything that we're really going to pull from that at this point. Again, I do think Raymond Calais, I think is how you pronounce his name. I think he's got a chance to make the roster, but he's more of a special teamer at this point. All right, Minnesota, and this was basically the Asim Rose, Amir Abdullah game. Asim Rose had a ton of work and actually graded out pretty well, 25 for 100, and graded out pretty well in terms of his PFF grade with a 70. Kenny Ngannou got hurt early on, so we're still waiting for a full update on that. Haven't really seen a good report yet on it. Knee was what it was. It looked like it happened on a kick return. So be interested to see what the fallout implications are from that. Again, does that put a guy like Asim Rose or Amir Abdullah in a third situation? That's kind of where Amir Abdullah has lived, I guess, over the past couple of years. It's interesting. He was not great in Detroit, sort of underwhelmed, and then all of a sudden, like, he's carved out a role of being like a professional football player, playing special teams and being like a third guy, and can do some things on special teams, just sort of hang around the league. So it's interesting. Again, I don't think he's a difference maker in terms of fantasy. It's actually, if there's an injury to Ngannou, it probably shores up any concern that we had about Madison. But Madison and Dalvin Cook held out. I think that probably tells us what we kind of want to know, which is, was there any concern about Madison? Not really. Asim Rose, 23, coming out of college, undrafted from Kentucky, 6'1", 215, best comp over at Player Profiler, Wayne Gallman. So 4.58 adjusted 40, 4.53 at the combine. So that's a speed score right around 50th percentile there, just short of 98. Burst score below average, agility really not good. So that's really the deal with him there. Spark score below average, it's just painting the picture of him there for you. And yeah, so I don't know how much there is to write home there, but listen, if you're gonna, we're probably foolish to write off anyone in this style of offense. So again, it's way down the dial, and we're sort of thinking longer, you know, we're really thinking longer term. Career high in college, 149 attempts there for Asim Rose. Not really even on the scouting radar entering the game. Okay, or entering really the league, I guess, more accurately. Let's go now to the Saints, and Latavius Murray had a forgettable game. Lost a fumble, not great. He started rotating with Devonta Freeman, who also had a regrettable game. Tony Jones Jr., the guy that actually stands out, 7 for 82, had a rushing touchdown, 5.57 yards after contact per attempt. It's excellent. Forced a missed tackle. Yeah, so really good in terms of all that stuff. When you look at some of the yards and stuff, he ran 7 routes, 5 for 38. So that's really good. So he's a name I think we should monitor deeper down the line. Again, I think Latavius Murray is the running back 2 to own. I'm interested in all sorts of guys that can be relevant, especially in offenses that are historically very, very good at producing running back scoring. And this is one. So I, you know, just keep an eye there on the back of the depth chart. Tony Jones Jr. Coming in out of Notre Dame. Actually, he's 22 years old, 5'11", 220 pounds. Best comp, notably, Travarius Cadet, former Saint. Pretty poor athlete altogether. And Yeah, that's kind of what you're dealing with. You know, decent in terms of college yards per carry, but again, not a ton there to really write home about with his, you know, with some of his stuff. He came in; it was actually an undrafted free agent last year. So, okay, turning next to the New York Giants again, Corey Clement. Cole Kmet when I try and say Corey Kmet. It's been a buzz guy. Didn't grade out particularly well. Booker actually graded out better. I know there was some concern expressed in the Analytics of Dynasty GroupMe chat earlier this week about Booker potentially losing this job. He is the first guy in, so I think that's notable too. So again, it's preseason. I think we're looking at tea leaves. First two series there, it is Booker on the field. Kmet comes in third series. Again, they didn't really do much early. They scored a late touchdown, but it was Kmet in the game after Booker. So I still think I would take Booker given their career arcs and everything to date so far. If you're going to say, hey, listen, like Corey Clement is outproducing Devontae Booker in camp, like our prior should be like, yeah, well, Devontae Booker's probably better. So, you know, not again, they're both middling in terms of grades. I think notably Booker significantly better in terms of PFF grade, even though it wasn't all that great. Again, Corey Clement with a fumble as well. So that, you know, bear that in mind. I think those things absolutely matter in camp. So Booker keeping it clean and added in the passing game. Six routes, didn't do anything. Kmet, three routes, didn't do anything either. So one force missed tackle for Booker, zero for Kmet. Sadro, this is the name of week one. Sadro Platzgummer. Also 4 for 51. And so he's a name to file away in the, maybe this will be the last time we ever hear from him. But that is a Hall of Fame name nonetheless. Okay. Going down next to, Philly, and Kerryon Johnson is getting some, he's already getting his knee looked at. It looks like there's an injury there. I mean, what a disappointment. I mean, it's just, I feel bad for the guy. I really liked him coming out of college, but you know, I hope he can get healthy and write it. But man, it just doesn't seem like it's in the cards for him, which is honestly, it's sad. I was a huge fan, and he was really early in his career. Like he had some awesome metrics, like really good metrics, led the league in yards over expectation per attempt. Like that's awesome stuff. And it's been all downhill after that. So we'll see how that goes. That's absolutely something we're looking for. Jordan Howard was the first running back actually to see a touch in the game. So that might tell you something. Boston Scott came in there after. And then Kenny Gainwell in on the third series. Quez Watkins had a huge touchdown too, by the way. Just a notable name to keep filing in mind. Gainwell in. You know, so I do think we're kind of seeing somewhat of a pecking order, I guess. Jordan Howard, Boston Scott, and then Kenny Gainwell. I think maybe the big takeaway there is that Gainwell is further down the dial than a true injury away guy or anything like that. Kerryon Johnson didn't get a touch until the third quarter. So, I mean, I think he's probably cuttable in, if you're in 25-man league, something like that, I think he's probably cuttable. I got some stashes. I was sort of holding out hope. But if he's hurt and behind Jordan Howard, Kenny Gainwell, and Boston Scott at this point, like, let him float. I mean, just we're going to have to let him float. All right, Seattle Seahawks and... You know, we're getting his classmate. Hopefully, we'll get back here with Rashad Penny. Both he and Chris Carson held out of the first camp. first preseason game, I should say there. And it was really Alex Collins was the first guy in. They actually didn't throw up. They didn't run the ball until the third series. So take that for what you will. Second series. They had one carry on the second series. But they had a long, long-ish nine-play drive on the second. In the first quarter that didn't involve a run. So you know, there's been some thought that, hey, this offense might change. And I know that there's some stylistic stuff there. That's interesting. You know, it's preseason. Don't take a ton from it. But, hey, we can hope, right? So Alex Collins does come in. It's only it's minimal work in terms of two attempts, and then he's out. So that might give us an indication there. We do see some extended work from DJ Dallas, for example, Josh Johnson as well, Cameron Scarlett. There wasn't a ton of running going on in this game. It is after Collins. It is it's DJ Dallas coming in really the first extended looks that he gets is in the second half. So you know, that might tell us a little bit something. They didn't get a ton going in the first half either, so maybe we don't necessarily hold that against him. But he did 43-yard reception for a touchdown. So that's nice, and that will absolutely boost up his yards per route run for a very sizable 7.5. So ran six routes, 45 yards, and two catches. So pretty good numbers there. Fun with small sample sizes. All right, San Francisco. I do have some takeaways from San Francisco as well, because this is a Jordan McNamara Football Guy special, so I pay extra close attention to them. And it is, I think, pretty clear what the pecking order is. It's Raheem Mostert was held out of this game. Like, that gives us an indication. Trey Sermon played a ton. And so 9 for 26, not great. Basically averaged 1.9 yards after contact per attempt. Seven routes, two catches, 14 yards. So nice 2 yards per route run there. So I'll make a play out in space. I thought he looked good. Like, again, it's preseason, so you don't have full lines and all that stuff. You know, no one's truly bonding. And it's a pretty rudimentary running game. It's funny. They so underperform. Like, I've covered them for, I don't know, however long I've been doing training camp reports. So it's been three or four years at this point. And it's the same thing every year. I'm like, man, I don't know how they're going to run the ball. And then they do. It's like magic. They're really good at it when the season comes around. So yeah, definitely. I think that's the clear pecking order there with Sermon. It's Sermon, and then after that, it was Gallman, and then Hasty. So I mean, and it was Hasty late too. So Gallman actually rotated in a little bit with Sermon. Sermon lost the fumble, so got to keep that in mind. So did Hasty. Hasty had a fumble as well. I don't think either of them lost it, if memory serves. I think they were both recovered, but both of them fumbles. Hasty actually had some decent stuff after contact, 2.8 yards after contact per attempt, 2 forced missed tackles. So that's pretty nice. But again, the fumble, not what we're looking for. So all told, I think this is a pretty clear cut, and we kind of know what's going on running game there with San Francisco. Turning next to the defending Super Bowl champion Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And I think pretty interesting, Fournette, he starts 2 carries, 2 yards, not much to write home about there. Both of his yards are after contact, so stuffed at the line, manages to crawl forward for a yard each time. It's basically the story of your day. He was not involved in any passing down snaps, so you have that. Ronald Jones was in thereafter. He goes 1 carry, 0 yards. So then basically it was on to the next one. Giovanni Bernard does not play. Ronald Jones does not. He runs one route, actually. and isn't targeted or anything like that. So that's that. And then you get Keyshawn Vaughn playing an extended amount of time, 2 for 10 in the passing game, 13 routes run. So again, not a ton to write home there in the passing game. He goes 11 for 27. I wonder if this is, you know, putting him on display. There's some talk that like he can play special teams and that he'll be a factor there, and that's how he's going to make his roster spot secure. We'll see. With that, I don't know if he draws trade interest. You know, can you get like a conditional day three pick, or, you know, do they see 2022 in his future and say, hey, like, this is a guy that we could potentially build around? I'm not sure. I'd be really interested to see how this all unfolds for him and sort of what happens with Keyshawn Vaughn this year. CJ Procise plays sparingly as well. This is basically the Keyshawn Vaughn audition show, and does fine, scores a touchdown. So there's that. So we'll see there with him how that all unfolds. Again, I think this is a clear Fournette Jones, you know, is it 50-50, 60-40 between them? Then you got Geo. Like, this is a mess unless there's answers with an injury or someone getting caught or traded or something like that. Like, I think this is a mess. So I think Fournette at this point, glorified injury away guy, and I don't think he has a ceiling that he's had in prior years because Geo's there. So he's almost one that's going to need multiple injuries to make a huge, huge difference. Again, I think he's, quote, good, so I'm not cutting him or anything like that. But just keep that in mind. Like, this might not be if you've got him on the roster, you might not be depending on him early on in the season until you get some clarity. Last but not least in the NFC here, we've got the Washington football team. I did put out some stuff on Twitter about Logan Thomas. Gary Barnage is a terrible comp for Logan Thomas, by the way. So Gary Barnage had a huge uptick in production. He was much, much more productive in his season where he had I think it was 2015, maybe something like that, or it might even been earlier than that. But he was very, very, very productive in terms of, a big uptick in yards per run, in target rate, all that stuff over anything he'd ever done. Logan Thomas was essentially the same player he's been his entire career. Just they gave him a starting job and just said, just go run every route and lead the league in routes run and just do what you do. And that's what he did. And like, there's no shame in that. He's basically a median level yards per route run guy. And when you run the most routes in the league and you're base level competent, like, his season last year is exactly what happens. But that is not what Gary Barnage did. Gary Barnage had an elite metric season. And, you know, then I think he got popped for performance enhancing drugs thereafter. I don't know. You do the math. But I will say, if people are saying, oh, there's a huge regression coming for Logan Thomas, like, his regression will come from either an injury or someone taking his job, or for some reason they don't run the same scheme that they did last year. I don't see anyone coming in and taking his job. I did see John Bates made a nice play. But I don't see anyone coming in and taking his job. So if he's healthy, again, there's potential for even more in terms of his yards per route run could go up, because you have, and if it goes up 10%, that's actually pretty helpful. Again, it doesn't seem like a ton, but you sort of move that number up and that bakes in a little bit less, receiving routes volume. And I think Fitzpatrick can help him do that. So, you're seeing an uptick from Alex Smith to Ryan Fitzpatrick. Actually, when you look at it in light of quarterbacks, Logan Thomas probably did outperform what he had done prior in his career just because the offense was so bad. So I just want to note that just because I think it's important. Antonio Gibson started. The clear second guy in was Peyton Barber. Lamar Miller was buried and got released after the fact. So there's that. And then Jarrett Patterson actually played pretty well. It didn't grade out that well via PFF. So just sort of cautionary note there, but did 17 routes run. So that's actually really good. 1.76 yards per route run. He goes 4 for 30. So again, that's decent. Notably, 2 receptions for Gibson, 5 routes, so 2.8 yards per route run. Again, real small sample sizes, but made plays in the passing game on both of those catches. So, like, again, it was they were nice plays. Like, it wasn't just he made a little after the catch on one and sort of caught another one. It was like kind of in traffic type deal there. So that's notable. We'll see if Lamar Miller latches on someplace. But again, buried fourth on the depth chart behind Peyton Barber, behind Jarrett Patterson. Like, that's not great place to live. So we'll see in terms of how all that works out. But I think he's probably closer to done than anything. Again, does he get a tryout with someone like the Rams? You know, just take a free peek see with them. We'll see. That'll be something I guess we can keep an eye on, but I don't hold out a ton of hope for him. I think Peyton Barber, we'll see there. I don't know how much upside he actually presents, but again, he's one of those types of players, and he's kind of like that Jamal Williams, where he continues to see opportunities just because he's like core competent. He can do a lot of things well, and so that's, don't write him off. Again, I think this is an Antonio Gibson offense, but if Antonio Gibson goes down, we see a Peyton Barber, JD McKissick split at the position. Like, that's probably somewhere in the running back 2 flex worthy considerations there for Barber. You know, we'll see this. I think this offense is going to be better, so there may be more scoring opportunities as well, running the ball in, that sort of stuff. So I don't think we necessarily write him off. He looks at this point to be the injury away guy. So again, deeper rosters, you know, 28 man, you know, really curate the back of that roster. One thing I am doing, and we had some conversation about like a guy like Chuba Hubbard as well, who actually missed Carolina in this too. I got to go back. I realized I missed Carolina, but I take that back. PFF doesn't have the stats yet, so I'll have to update them later in the week. PFF doesn't have the stats yet because they played. I'm recording this Sunday night. They played on Sunday, so they don't have the stats yet. That's why I missed Carolina. But I was talking about this in the group meet chat. Like, hey, can you get a future second for Chuba Hubbard? Like, do it now. Like, that's fine. Like, cash your chip in. That's great. As long as you can sort of just replenish another injury away guy. And so is that, you know, is that Peyton Barber? Is it, you know, any of the other guys we've talked about? You know, is it one of those types of shots? Is it Damian Williams? Is it something like that? Because you really, that's a 1-for-2 type of trade, right? It is you're trading Chuba Hubbard, you're getting a pick, plus you're getting a roster spot. And so you sort of factor that in the equation. If we can flip these guys at profits right now, that's great. Because as long as you can, because this is a time of year where you can replenish them, I think that makes a ton of sense. All right, well, that'll do it for the NFC version of the quick running back rundown. I'm not using roundup, rundown. Until next time, continue embracing the variance. There's no copyright infringement here. And we'll talk again very soon.